I'm Sue Lincoln.
And I'm Anne Maria Wadd, and this is RU Radio.
Lieutenant Governor Jay Darden is looking for payback from some of his fellow candidates, but maybe he shouldn't be so quick to throw stones.
Sue has more on that, and on Insight, she talks with Commissioner of Administration Christy Nichols. Being the gatekeeper for Governor Bobby Jindal's administration is not an easy job. We learn more about the woman behind the title.
This week, a new exhibit opens at the Baton Rouge Gallery. Anne Marie talks with Executive Director Jason Andreessen and gets a preview of the work by three local artists.
When the plumbing is broken in your house, you call a plumber, right? Well, who do you call when the plumbing breaks in the nation's largest river swamp? Nick Jansen has the answer.
It may be too hot for you outside, but the flowers are loving it. Dan Gill recommends colorful garden additions that thrive in the summer sun. But first, the news. Welcome back to RU Radio. I'm Sue Lincoln.
And I'm Anne Maria Wadd.
Before we jump right into things, let's take a moment to talk about what we're doing here.
Right. So there's a lot going on in Baton Rouge these days, and we wanted to reflect that here on the air.
WRKF listeners have told us they want more local stories and info, so we decided to give it to you.
That's right. So every Friday at noon, we're giving you a whole half hour of our best stories.
Let's get started.
All right. Well, we'll have a preview of the August show at the Baton Rouge Gallery up ahead in just a few minutes. But first, we talk with a woman who is so often the voice and face of Governor Bobby Jindal's administration. Sue sat down with Christy Nichols, who has served as the Commissioner of Administration for the past 3 years, but has been with the administration from day one.
I'm Sue Lincoln. This is Insight, and my guest this week is Christy Nichols. In the position of Commissioner of Administration, many people have seen you almost as public enemy number one, or at least the guardian at the gates. I noticed with the legislators, especially the ones you work with the most, instead of it being animosity toward you as Commissioner of Administration, I sensed from them a respect for you, Christy Nichols, the person behind the commissioner's job. Did you get that sense from them this year that they appreciated what a tough job you've had?
First, thank you for that observation. You know, it's certainly difficult when you're in the trenches every day to reflect in terms of where you are in any given relationship. And that's what it is. It's a relationship with the legislature. And we all had very, very difficult roles to fill. And if I've done anything, I hope I've done service to that relationship. And I think all of us knew that there was no solving the issues, you know, that we faced the session alone. There was no one person that was going to bring the solution to the table. There was no fix that any one person could achieve alone. And I do have a lot of respect for the legislature. I certainly have had my own trials and tribulations there, but I hope that they viewed me as being honest and fair and with them in the challenge.
You didn't come into this as an accountant, a bean counter. You came from the social services aspect of it. The whole point of what you were trained to do was to help people. But over the last couple of years, you've been put in the place of having to evaluate whether saving the money was more important or helping people was more important. How do you balance that as a person when you do step away from the job?
I've really learned a lot over the last 8 years about managing stress, and I personally exercise a lot and find a lot of joy and serenity in things that probably are stressful to other people, like endurance training and running and those kinds of things. But that helps me.
Endorphins.
Right, right. You know, the most challenging job I had in state government was definitely being the secretary of the Department of Children and Family Services, because you're there to protect children. And people abuse children every day. And so when I approach the role as commissioner in building the budget specifically, I think about the things that I'm not willing to accept that we won't do. You certainly have to every day think about priorities, and you got to juggle resources, and you've got to deal with the temperament of the citizens of Louisiana in terms of what they want to see happen and what they're willing to accept. It's not an easy job. And I really do take away from all of the experiences that I've gained in state government, and I walk away with a very, very clear understanding of that one thing, that no one person is the solution. It's the collection of the people that love you, the things that you do for yourself, and the people that you work with and that you respect, and the people that go to work every day and do the harder jobs than I've ever done. You know, people that go out into the streets and protect us, people that go and work for kids every day. Those are the heroes. So when I take a step back and think about it, and I think about it from the context of all the people working towards solving these problems, I get comfort in that.
Well said. For Insight, I'm Sue Lincoln.
That was Sue speaking with Commissioner of Administration Christy Nichols. Sue, what's next for Christy?
Well, the Jindal administration wraps up in about 6 months. She's not absolutely sure what she's going to do, but says the most important thing for her is to keep providing service to the people here in Louisiana.
Well, we'll be sure to keep in touch with her.
Every month, the Baton Rouge Gallery puts on a different show with a different group of artists. For August, three local artists are showing their work. Anne Marie sat down with Executive Director Jason Andreessen to find out more about this show and the trio of artists who work in very different mediums.
So tell us about these three local artists that are having an exhibition.
The interesting thing to me is that the show was put together without really knowing what each artist would do, yet there seems to be a thread that runs between all three, and that is structure. All three kind of look at structure in an interesting way, whereas Amy James will look at it through her photography, looking at family and her family's changing structure because she recently remarried, now has new children in her life, and also just recently, unfortunately, lost her father to a bout with Parkinson's. Linda Jeffers, meanwhile, is looking at structure by finding order out of sort of the chaos that comes with a found object or someone who's infatuated with found objects. And finally, Brian Kelly is a printmaker who, interestingly enough, will tell you himself that he suffers from OCD and finds a lot of comfort in the order that his prints give him.
Now, that's interesting because I was actually looking at some of Brian's work, and a lot of his prints appear to be kind of chaotic when you first look at them.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing because every time, or just about every time that you look at one of Brian's works, you will see exactly that. You'll see a lot of things going on. On the first Sunday that follows our opening receptions, we have a program called Articulate, where the artists come and talk about their works. And to this day, Brian's talk a few years ago is one of my favorites because he did talk about dealing and living with OCD and what that means for him on a really personal day-to-day level, and also how it interacts with his work as an artist. So he talked about his routine when it comes to things as simple as cutting the grass and how his wife enjoys gardening, and sometimes she'll rearrange the way the garden is positioned or the way that the rocks that edge their flower beds are positioned, and it throws him all out of whack. He doesn't know what to do with it. He has to recalibrate things in his own mind because he's really used to the back and forth of the lawnmower over the grass. So when you hear him talk about it on that personal level, it gives another layer to the visual that you're seeing in the gallery.
I see.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the other artists as well. So Amy James, for example, has this very beautiful kind of emotional black and white. She does darkroom photography.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of her show is called Kin, and you mentioned it's about her family.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Autobiographical or very personal work is something that Amy James might be well known for. A lot of her works, you'll see her own family, her dogs, her children. Because her family has changed a lot over the last couple of years, she is sort of reveling in it, dealing with the pain that comes with that change, the growing pains emotionally for herself. So there's a lot to see in these works that she's brought to the gallery that are apersonal. It's giving you an insight into someone else's world and experience, but it's also certainly something that you can relate to.
And moving on to Linda Jeffers, is her exhibit as part of this collection kind of also just as personal?
With this show, she has a collection of assemblages that have been created over the last 3 years, and she's finding a lot of whimsy or play within them. So, for example, she might look at things like wordplay and look at myths or historical events and kind of play with the idea of what if, which is the name of the show, What Ifs. And when you see a Linda Jeffers piece, there's typically a lot to see there.
Okay, great. Well, the exhibition in August is going to run through August 27th at the Baton Rouge Gallery with work from local artists Amy James, Linda Jeffers, and Brian Kelly. Jason, thank you for joining me.
No, thank you.
This is 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Discover with us. Listen on your smartphone with the free WRKF app available for Apple and Android devices.
You're listening to Rue Radio. I'm Anne Maria Wadd.
And I'm Sue Lincoln. Next Friday through Sunday, Breck Independence Park Theater is putting on a production of Streetcar Named Desire, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Tennessee Williams. Tickets and more info are at independenceparktheater.org. Also next weekend, folk singer-songwriter Clay Parker is playing a show at Chelsea's. That's Saturday, August 15th. More information is available at chelseascafebr.com/events.
Earlier this summer, the Nature Conservancy of Louisiana made a historic land acquisition in the Atchafalaya River Basin. This will allow them to pursue hydrology projects that will not only improve the flow of water throughout the swamp, but will also spur cypress tree growth. Nick Jansen has followed the Nature Conservancy's work in this area and has this report.
This is Louisiana's Lab. I'm Nick Jansen. The Nature Conservancy is beginning a long-term restoration effort in the Bayou Sorrel region of the Atchafalaya Basin. Brian Piazza is a scientist for the Nature Conservancy.
The restoration is fixing the broken plumbing that is a problem in the basin.
Here's how the plumbing should work.
These distributaries deliver water into the forest where it slows down, the nutrients are deposited, it fertilizes the trees. It helps everything grow, it helps the fish, it helps the crawfish. And then that water is supposed to come and drain, re-enter these waterways, and flow down eventually to the Gulf of Mexico.
But the water doesn't always move like that. It can get trapped in the woods and drown young cypress trees. And if the basin's plumbing isn't fixed, scientists aren't sure what will happen.
What the science is showing is that some of these areas could turn into open water.
The second possibility is that cypress tupelo forests are replaced by flood-tolerant shrubs. According to Jim Bergen, another scientist for the Nature Conservancy, locals have a name for those areas.
They can't crawfish in those areas, and it's just not very productive, and they call it sick swamp.
Restoring the basin, fixing the water, they have tangible benefits, like protecting cypress forests. But Bergen adds the Atchafalaya Basin is important to people, like hunters and fishermen.
You know, you talk to them and they can recount story after story of when they were young and what they've seen and the changes that they've seen happen. And it's a sadness that comes over them.
The Nature Conservancy hopes their first restoration here, the East Grand Lake Project, will reverse those changes. For Louisiana's Lab, I'm Nick Jansen.
Support for healthcare and science coverage on Louisiana's Lab comes from Bazile, Saxe & Wilson, serving the legal and business needs of people and companies throughout Louisiana, and from ExxonMobil Baton Rouge, supporting education in science, technology, engineering, and math.
You can hear more of Nick Jansen's reporting on water conservation in the Atchafalaya River Basin by going to WRKF.org. And since you're going online anyways, why not follow us on Facebook and Twitter while you're at it?
Most of us turn bright red when we've been out in the sun too long, but all that heat could have your garden turning sunburnt shades as well. Dan Gill has the word on plants that hold up to the heat and brighten your yard with blooms.
Welcome to Bayou Garden on 89.3 WRKF. I'm Dan Gill with the LSU Ag Center. If you want to boost the color in your landscape now, don't let the heat stop you. Nurseries have an excellent selection of colorful bedding plants that will thrive in whatever heat the summer throws at them. These plants come in a variety of heights, textures, and colors, and their choices suitable for growing in sunny as well as shady areas. You can replace bedding plants that have already played out, or you may have lost some of your bedding plants to insect or disease. Or you may decide that you want to brighten things up on your deck, porch, or patio with large containers or hanging baskets full of colorful bedding plants. It's generally worth the investment to plant warm season bedding plants as late as August, given that these plants will stay attractive in our gardens all the way until November. So this really gives you enough bang for your buck to make it worth planting them this time of the year. Now, when it comes to preparing the beds, be sure to remove any old bedding plants or weeds that may be in the bed. Turn the soil to a depth of about 6 to 8 inches, and then incorporate a few inches of compost and some fertilizer into the bed. This extra effort to prepare the soil really makes a difference in the performance of your hot weather bedding plants. Rake the area smooth after you've incorporated the fertilizer and compost, and you're ready to plant. Now, make sure the plants you purchase this time of the year are healthy, vigorous, and have been properly cared for at the nursery. Avoid plants that look wilted, leggy, have poor color, or show signs of insect or disease problems. This is not the time of the year to nurse struggling plants back to health. You need to start off with the highest quality plants you can find. Now, there's lots of choices for planting now. For sunny beds and containers in the sun, you can choose periwinkle, melampodium, alternanthera, angelonia, blue days, purslane, portulaca, pintas, verbena, and salvias, as well as sun-tolerant coleus, lantana, zinnia, and marigold. Now, in shadier areas, you can choose wonderful plants that like the shade, such as impatiens, Tyrrhenia, begonia, and coleus. I'm sure you're likely to find other great choices available at your nursery, and feel free to choose those as well. Mulch with an inch or two of your favorite mulch and water the bed thoroughly once you've finished planting. The mulch is really important. It helps prevent weed problems, minimizes the watering that you're going to have to do, and helps keep the soil a little bit cooler. Watering is the trickiest part of planting this time of the year. You may need to water the bed fairly frequently, especially if you're not getting any rain, till the plants send roots out into the surrounding soil. So watch the plants carefully for wilting and water when needed. If you don't feel up to replanting entire flower beds, you can still plant containers, or even just make those flower beds look better. Remove the unattractive plants, mulch thoroughly to keep the bed free from weeds, and plant later on when the temperatures get cooler. This is Bayou Garden. I'm Dan Gill. Join us next week at this time for more on Your Garden. Podcasts of the show are available at wrkf.org.
For more gardening tips, download the WRKF app and listen to podcasts of Bayou Garden.
Lieutenant Governor Jay Darden is running for governor, and lately his campaign has been asking for the state to get some payback. But like the old adage says, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Sue Lincoln has the details.
This is Capital Access. I'm Sue Lincoln. Jay Darden wants payback.
David's got a lot of money in the super PAC. Bobby's got a lot of money in super PACs. The taxpayers of Louisiana ought not be having to fund those efforts. That's the point I'm really making.
Darden, who is running for governor, last week issued a statement through his campaign calling on Senator David Vitter and his affiliated super PAC to refund $70,000 collected from the state.
What got my attention was the state having to pay for attorney's fees on the lawsuit he brought to raise all the money from the super PAC.
Darden also issued recent statements calling on Jindal's presidential campaign to pick up the tab for Jindal's security detail, when the governor is off on that campaign's business.
The governor ought to have his protection. I'm just saying it ought not be paid for by the taxpayers when it's exclusively to pursue a campaign for the presidency out of state.
Darden says Jindal should take his cue from another presidential hopeful, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin.
You know, Scott Walker set the standard. He said from day one he was going to use his super PAC or have a super PAC pay for his protection.
Yet as lieutenant governor, Darden also has a state police security detail, though he says he has refused 24/7 protection all along. He admits state police are with him more often these days.
You know, when you're acting governor, you're it. And when the governor's out of state and I'm the acting governor, they've made it even more clear that it's appropriate for them to be with me in case something happens.
That means state police are often with Darden when he is campaigning for governor, and not only when handling lieutenant governor stuff. For Capital Access, I'm Sue Lincoln.
Support for Capital Access comes from Southern Strategy Group, governmental relations, strategic planning, and public relations in Baton Rouge, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, supporting Louisiana agriculture through education.
I'm Anne Marie Awad. You're listening to Rue Radio.
This weekend in downtown Baton Rouge, you can shop the fresh and local offerings at the Red Stick Farmers Market Saturday morning. Saturday evening, head over to the USS Kidd for a special presentation called Keeping the Spirit of 45 Alive. It's a USO-style show celebrating the spirit of the warriors of World War II. They say, bring your dancing shoes.
New Orleans is hosting the Great American Seafood Cook-Off this weekend, followed by the Farm to Table Conference at the Morial Center. That runs through Monday. In Lake Charles and Monroe, car enthusiasts are showing off their antique vehicles and tricked-out rides this weekend.
LaBerge Baton Rouge has comedian David Spade Saturday night, while Paragon Casino has Whitesnake. And Cypress Bayou has Warren Storm on Sunday.
That's all for the show this week. Follow us on Twitter at WRKF and find us on Facebook.
Our theme music was composed by John Tully.
This has been your food for thought. Until next week.